So the epistle for the Sunday within the octave of Christmas is taken from Galatians chapter 4. Brethren, as long as the heir is a child, he differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed by the Father. So we also, when we were children, were serving under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem them who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God hath sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, now he is not a servant, but a son, and if a son, an heir also through God. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Luke chapter 2. At that time, Joseph and Mary, the mother of Jesus, were wondering at those things which were spoken concerning him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and for the resurrection of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be contradicted, and thy own soul a sword shall pierce, that out of many hearts thoughts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Aser. She was far advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow until 84 years, who departed not from the temple, by fastings and prayers serving night and day. Now she was at the same hour coming in, confessed to the Lord, and spoke of him to all that looked for the redemption of Israel. And after they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong, full of wisdom, and the grace of God was in him. Please be seated. And thy own soul a sword shall pierce. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In today's gospel, we have St. Joseph, the Blessed Virgin Mary, bringing our Lord Jesus Christ to the temple. He's being presented there. And he's being presented to the holy man, Simeon. Here we have this holy man who was faithful to Almighty God. And all he wanted to do was to see the salvation of mankind, and he wanted to hold him in his arms. And so from that, we have, as we pray at Compline, the last prayer that the religious pray, the Nunc Dimittis, now you can dismiss your servant. And he said this prayer after receiving our Lord into his arms, because he felt that his life was fulfilled. He felt that his life was fulfilled because he had now held the Savior of mankind in his arms. And so he was saying, now you can dismiss your servant. Now I can die. I can go because I have seen with my own eyes the salvation of mankind. But before that, before passing on to his reward for being a faithful servant, he made two famous prophecies. The first prophecy was concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. He said that he would be for the fall of many, and then also he would be a sign of contradiction. And then his second prophecy was directed to the Blessed Virgin Mary. He said to her, your own soul a sword shall pierce. And so we may ask the question, why Holy Mother of the Church puts this prophecy within the octave of Christmas? Because we have now come with great joy to the feast of Christmas to celebrate it, that the Messiah has come, that this light has broken the darkness. And so why all of a sudden would the Church put in her liturgy the seven sorrows of Our Lady, one of the seven sorrows of Our Lady? Now, why would that be brought into the liturgy? And it's interesting to see how the Church has done that. That it mixes the joy that we have in life with sorrows that will come. I think for any of us, that is a reality. We have our joys, but we also have our sorrows. We have our blessings, we have our crosses. And so it shouldn't be anything that is new to us. If anything, it is Almighty God showing to us that this is realistic. We had talked about, during the time period of Lent, Latari Sunday, the Sunday where a golden rose was blessed. It was normally blessed by the Pope, but it signified something more. It signified our spiritual life. Because when you say the rose is the crown of all flowers. Most consider it the most beautiful of all flowers. But yet, it also has its thorns. It's thorns that can prick us. We may have learned that the hard way as a child, seeing a beautiful rose, wanting to pick it for our mother. We paid some consequences to that, but we felt it was worth it. For mom, it would be worth it. And so when the church blesses that golden rose, it shows the symbolism behind it. It reminds us in this time period of Lent, when we talked about that with Latari Sunday, that we have to go through the passion and death of our Lord to get to his resurrection. It was a must for our Lord to go through that. And so it is also a reminder to us that in a large sense it is something that is necessary for all of us. But a lot of times we'll have to go through the purifications, the crosses, in order to get to the glory. A famous saying, no pain, no gain. Sometimes said in sports. But we can make that application even then to the spiritual life. And that is something that Simeon had mentioned at this time. Here they are presenting the Savior of mankind to the temple in honor to God. And Our Lady is hit with these two prophecies. And yes, she knew it from when she said her fiat, that she would be the mother of God. She realized she would have to suffer. She realized that she would have to offer her son and watch him in this pain. But then the reality of that struck her. Here our Lord is just born, they present him, and all of a sudden the prophecies come. Not only the prophecies about our Lord, that he would be this sign of contradiction, that yes, because of our Lord's preaching, some would fall because of that. Not because of our Lord, but because they did not listen and heed his preaching. But then on top of that, she also receives this prophecy about herself. As it's not enough that she gives her son, but that she too would be pierced with a sword, with the seven swords, her seven sorrows. And so we see in sacred scripture a lot of times Our Lady will say that she took these things and she placed them in her heart to think and to contemplate about. And so just imagine basically the 33 years that she kept this in her heart. These two prophecies of the Holy Man and realizing that they would come to fruition 33 years later. And how much she suffered in her heart in realizing that they would come to fruition. And as I say, Holy Mother, the Church gives us in this time period of joy because it wants us to be realistic. It wants us to understand that we will have our joys in life, but maybe even in the same time that we're having our joys, there will be sorrows. There will be sufferings. And the two of them are means, they're a vehicle, a way to get us to heaven. And that is how we must understand these things. Instead, it's very natural for any of us, when crosses or trials or sorrows and sufferings come, we want to reject them. We don't want to accept them. And maybe even in some ways we question or wonder why. Why does God permit this? Why does God allow this? But I think all we have to do is to contemplate, to think about the Holy Family. I mean, here you have three souls that were resigned to the will of God, and is very evident from that. Saint Joseph, when God inspired him and told him, you must leave and take your family and go to Egypt, he did. And when an angel had told him that he must accept the Blessed Virgin Mary, he did. And so he is very resigned to the will of God. The Blessed Virgin Mary, all the same with her fiats, we have this example of her accepting too the will of God. And then finally, the exemplar motto, our Lord Jesus Christ, obedient even unto death. And so for the Holy Family, they were very resigned to the will of God. They were very obedient to that. And yet they suffered so much. They didn't have much. I mean, it even says in sacred scripture, talking about the offering that they make at this time period of presenting our Lord in the temple. They offered what the poor would offer, because they didn't have much. Well, that was not significant before the eyes of God. They gave what was necessary. They truly gave themselves to Almighty God. And yet they had to suffer so much. They suffered all of these things because it was the will of God. And so it is a great lesson for all of us to consider the crosses, the trials that we have in life, that they can be a vehicle, a means in order to get us to heaven. They can be a way for us to purify our soul. And that is why maybe sometimes God permits them. That is why God allows us to undergo them. Too often it's easy for us just to say, why is God punishing me? What did I do wrong? But if anything, maybe it's because we're doing something right. And it is a hard lesson. It is very difficult for us to understand that. Because as I say, in this time period of Christmas, we think about this light coming into the world. And so why? Why all of a sudden the sorrow presented to us, for us, this year? It is the day after. And obviously with the octave of Christmas, the Sunday within the octave of Christmas, it will fall within a few days of Christmas. But this year it is the day after. So it's a stark difference for us. All the joy, all talking about how our Lord is the light. He is our salvation. The Messiah has come. And it's almost like it's slammed in our face. Well, there's also sorrows. Don't forget about it. And as I say, Holy Mother of the Church does this for a purpose. I mean, we have to understand that our Lord, his whole purpose, his mission, when he came into this world, was to redeem mankind. But that redemption came through the death on the cross. So I think it's easy for us to say that all roads lead to the cross and through the cross. And so if we understand that, if we have that understanding of that reality that is before us, it can help us maybe better to see the hand of God in these things. And so just as that golden rose was blessed and the symbolism was presented to us, it is almost like we're going up the stem of that rose. We go through the thorns to the very top, and then we reach the bud of the rose. And so we go through the sufferings and the crosses of this life to reach then our glorification through Almighty God. And so then it is very fitting that the Blessed Virgin Mary, being a good mother, she follows her son the entire way. And so I think it's a good point to think about that Our Lady was the first to make the way of the cross, literally. She walked that way of the cross, following her son. And so it is a good contemplation for us. It is a help to us to realize the difficulties, the struggles that we have in life. They are meant to purify our soul. And that is why Our Lady is so important in that. I'd mentioned to you on December 8th, talking about some of the spiritual authors and how they say how important the Blessed Virgin Mary is in order for us to be redeemed. That is why she receives the title of the co-redemptrix. She is this mediatrix of all graces. And we see why. We see how important she was in this great feast of Christmas. Well, yes, she was the mother. She brought him into the world. But she didn't stop there. She kept going and following her son. And so, it is a great help to us. She suffered. She suffered as a mother. She suffered to see her son suffer so much. And there was nothing she could really do about it because it was the will of God. All she could do is to accept it. To accept what Almighty God was asking from her. So yes, the resignation of the Holy Family, the resignation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, to these prophecies is a great lesson for us. But as I say, it's a great lesson that is placed in this joyful time period. It is almost like, don't forget, yes, some of the penance is done, the mortifications are done. It is to celebrate this great feast of Christmas. But don't lose sight of sometimes the crosses and the sufferings that we have in life. The last thing we need to do is just to put up our hands and say, nope, I've had enough of that. I don't need that. We must beg for the strength to be able to accept them. It is not easy, but through the grace of God, it can be done. And I think that is a good meditation for us. As we come to the creche and we look at the infant, and we see that the Messiah has come, but then just to picture what Our Lady had also thought about and kept in her heart, that in several years, her son would die on the cross. He would be crucified by the ones he came to save. And that's what we say in the last gospel. The light came into this world and then they knew him not. They rejected this light. And so through our sins, the same thing. Through our mortal sins especially, we reject our Lord Jesus Christ. We reject this light. So it is something to think about. It is something to meditate upon. That the sufferings, the crosses and trials, they are necessary for our own redemption. And in some ways to look to Our Lady as an example of how she suffered silently. She suffered silently and she suffered with a resignation to the will of God. And so let us ask and beg Our Lady to help us to do the same. To suffer silently in these things so that when our Lord does come the second time, that he will find us ready. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.